So this morning, I want to ask the question, why do you do things that way? Have you ever heard someone say that, or maybe heard yourself say that about somebody else? Why do you do things that way? Right? Well, because it implies that we see things from a certain perspective. And so we're going to address that. I've invited seven people to come up front. And if... I have the papers. Yeah. Yes. Come on this side. On that side. And once you seven get in, just come in this way. You should also be closer to this line. I mean, right there. That's good. Okay.
We need the administrator.
Okay. Just hang on to that piece of paper. Yeah, when it's your turn. Explain the scenario while we're handing out.
So we want to tell you a story. You know that Kevin always talks about stories, so I want to tell you a story. It really didn't happen, but it's a story anyways. So we invited these seven people to our house for dinner. It didn't happen. Let's pretend.
There's a certain order we're using. Oh.
And so I am serving. I have three plates in my hand, and I was ready to serve the salad, right? And I drop one of the plates of salad on the floor, and the whole thing splattered all over. The plate broke. The salad was all over the place. Are we good? That's what happened.
Okay. Is there anything else we need to know about that?
I'm looking at my notes. Thank you.
So the question at hand is, what is the response when you see that kind of thing happen? And so you have seven people in front of you, and they're all going to respond a little bit differently to the scene that Judy just described, right?
The plate all over the floor with the salad and broken.
So would you name each gift, and then they will say what their response is.
So how would the perceiver respond?
That's what happens when you try to carry too many plates.
That's the respond of the perceiver. It is true. It is, though, the way she views things, right? And the server says,
I'll clean it up.
Does it sound like one of you? I'll clean it up. And the teacher says,
the reason that plate dropped was that it wasn't balanced.
Okay. And the exhorter says,
next time, let someone help you carry the plates.
Thank you. And the giver says,
I'll be glad to help you make another salad.
And the compassion person says,
oh, don't feel embarrassed. It could have happened to anyone.
So, why don't each one of you, the administrator, I didn't know you were the seventh person. And the administrator says,
John, get the broom and dustpan. Sally, bring the mop. Marie, help me fix another salad. All
right. Thank you.
Hand out.
It's your turn.
Do you want this? All right, so you had seven different responses. I would imagine that you could relate to at least one of them, maybe more than one, right? As to how you would handle it. Bonnie, can I say what you just told me? So when Bonnie heard me say it the way I said it, she says, I wouldn't say it that way. I have the water. It's right there. Thank you. All right, so you have a handout, and we're going to be looking at that handout off and on, not right now, but you have it in your hand. Okay, so there are three different groups of gifts that are mentioned in the New Testament. We're not going to do all three groups of gifts. We're going to focus on one. But just so you know, because oftentimes when you look at studies that are found about the gifts, they often mention all of them. And so it's kind of hard to figure out, well, how did it differentiate one from the other? But so I want to give you a brief definition of each one. The first group is called the manifestation gifts. That's how some people refer to them. They are found in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 7 through 10. And they're basically an expression of God to benefit someone through a vessel who's available and expectant. So someone who's made themselves available and they're expectant that God is going to do something. And so it could be any one of these many different gifts that are listed in that thing that could happen. And the way it happens is the fact that in the scriptures it says, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1, God asks us to pursue love, because it's referring to the chapter before. We are to pursue love. That's the motivation behind using the gift. But then it says, you are to, what's the verse say? I have it written down here. You earnestly desire and cultivate that spiritual gift. So you've got a desire to even want to be using or be used in one of those gifts. And then you've got to cultivate with time. And so in the second grouping of gifts, it's called the ministry gifts. Some people refer to them as the fivefold or the leadership gifts. And these are gifts that people lead and train the rest of the body. And so if you're going to be one of those gifts, you're going to act and function in the gift. It's not an issue of just being a title that you're given to somebody. You actually have to be walking in it already. You're already practicing that gift. And it's only because you're there to benefit somebody else. And if you are one of the fivefold, whether it's the apostle, the teacher, the preacher, the pastor, or the prophet, or the evangelist, it's because you function as part of a community of leaders. You're not a lone ranger. You function together. And the third grouping is the motivational gifts, which is our focus today. As you see the seven that were up here, these are seven forms of being motivated or showing you how you're motivated when you actually approach a particular problem that you want to solve. Now, Judy is going to go further into this part, and we would like you to just close your eyes as she reads the text.
I want to read from Romans 12, 6 to 8. If you would listen carefully, it's in the Passion Translation. It said, God's marvelous grace imparts to each one of us varying gifts. So if God has given you the grace, gift of prophecy, activate your gift by using the proportion of faith you have to prophesy. If your grace gift is serving, then thrive in serving others well. If you have the grace gift of teaching, then be actively teaching and training others. If you have the grace gift of encouragement, then use it often to encourage others. If you have the grace gift of giving to meet the needs of others, then may you prosper in your generosity without any fanfare. If you have the gift of leadership, be passionate about your leadership. And if you have the gift of showing compassion, then flourish in your cheerful display of compassion. Romans 12, 6 to 8. And grace gifts. When you think about grace gifts, what do you think of? So it's grace given. It's given as gift. The grace, when I think of grace, and I looked it up in the dictionary, a merited divine assistance, given to humans, a virtue coming from God. So if it's a gift, it's not ours to keep. It's approval, it's favor, it's a privilege that the Lord has given us. So the word gift and motivation is the same word, charisma, that was used in the Greek word, and used in 1 Peter 4:10, which says, every believer has received grace gifts, so use them to serve one another as faithful stewards of the many-colored tapestry of God's grace. So 1 Peter 4:10 says, every believer has been given grace gifts. This grace gives shape our personalities. And yet, we still have a choice. We have a choice. They've been given to us, but we have a choice to use them appropriately, the way the Lord ordained them, or to neglect them, or even abuse them. And if it's a gift given to us to benefit the church, to help others, to love on others, then it's a gift given to us that has a choice that we make. So we have to make that choice regarding, do we use it? Do we not? What do we do with the gift God has given us?
So you saw the seven gifts that are there. So what do you think? What's the first thing that was a first thought? You want to write that on the board for me? If you hear the word perceiver, what comes to mind? Perceiver, what comes to mind?
Understands.
Okay. All right, anything else? Captain Obvious. Okay. It's Captain Obvious to the perceiver, but not, maybe not to everybody else, right? Okay. What about the server? What are you doing? Okay. So a server could be a doer. A helper, exactly. Right?
Humble,
okay. Teacher, what do you think about when you hear the word teacher? Direction, all right?
And correction.
And correction, mm-hmm. What else?
They have a responsibility.
Okay. How does that fit with the... All right, a responsibility. All right, so some kind of leadership aspect of that. Understanding, okay. Another word that they use with this is researcher. All right. But somebody doesn't have a mic, huh? Exhorter. Cheerleader, okay. What else? Someone who encourages. All right. Anything else? Esteems others, okay? Esteems, E-S-T-E-E-M-M. I mean, one M. All right, yep, E-R. Giver, what about the giver?
Generous.
Okay, but what are we talking? What do they give? They give peanuts, M&Ms? What do they do? Practical things, right? Now, is it just possessions that they're giving? What else? Time. Uh-huh. What about else? Anything else? Uh-huh. That's key. They give wisely according to what the person needs, right? So they're kind of discerning in how they give. They use discretion. They ask God, okay? Mm-hmm. Administrator. Organizer. Anything else?
Director.
Mm-hmm. Organized people.
Big picture.
Mm-hmm. Plan ahead. Right?
Brings peace.
Because, okay, since they have the big picture or the vision, then it brings peace to everyone. You say, oh, somebody knows what's going on. Somebody got to know what's going on.
Delegates.
Okay. right? What about the compassion person? What do you think of when you hear that? Love? Great. What else?
Tenderness.
Mercy.
Mm-hmm.
They put other people's feelings first, right? That's called empathy. Right? Anything else? Is that it? All right. Great. See, you guys know these words, don't you? You came up with some great definitions. Judy, are you doing the next portion? No? Okay. I'm just checking. I see it highlighted in yellow. I kind of wondered what... Okay, all right, I'm going to go through these. Not yet. Thank you, though. All right, so we use the word perceiver and not the word prophet, because the word prophet has a lot more to its definition. So we want to narrow it down. It's someone who clearly perceives the will of God, someone who is trying to get ahead of, who's ahead of the game, really, in this situation. The server is the one who loves to serve. That's pretty obvious, right? And we mentioned the word doer. The teacher is the one who researches or communicates. Now, sometimes we use the word researcher because someone who's teacher motivated doesn't always want to teach. They just want to research. Right? It's just about them, right? But all these seven gifts are not about them. It's about benefiting others. That's what Judy said earlier, right? It's to benefit, right? It's for the common good, according to Scripture. And then the exhorter is that person who likes to encourage, as someone mentioned earlier. You know, they're very positive people. They find the positive in everything. No matter what thing you say to them, they're just, you know, very negative. They always find something positive about that particular situation. Then the giver, I said before, it's time, talent, energy, and sometimes it's funds. And they're a contributor, right? The administrator is the one who loves to organize, lead, and direct. They are sometimes a facilitator. And sometimes they just show you how to lead. And the compassion person, they see things regarding a person's feelings more than anyone else. Now, we looked at the verse that says 1 Peter 4:10, which is right there. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Now, does that mean that everyone in this room has a gift? You betcha it does. It means that. But we don't always believe it, do we? Or we don't even know what it is, or we haven't discovered it, or we have neglected it, we have ignored it, or we might have even abused it, or just rejected it. I said, I don't want that gift. I want one of the other ones. Has anyone ever said that? I want one of the other ones. I don't want that one. If I have that one, it's not gonna, you know, it's not gonna go well for me. But here's something that we need to know. God has placed these gifts in us when? Before we were born. It says here on the screen from Psalms 139, how we were wonderfully made. And it talks about the fact that God knows us so well and he puts these gifts in us, which means in the end, it's the way we are going to perceive life. You saw there were seven different perceptions of how to solve a problem. Now, were any of them completely right by themselves? Not really. You sort of need perspective on all of those, right? And so, and sometimes one scenario, one problem will have a better solution out of the seven. But then if you describe another problem, one of the other ones would be better to solve the problem. But the issue is, you're still only going to look at it from your set of lenses and not always the others. And so these things come in at conception, and they incorporate our interests, our abilities, our enthusiasms, and our actions as to how we approach life. You know that if you have more than one child in your family, they're not going to do things the same way, right? They may have the same problem. Oh, when your older brother was this age, this is how he handled it. And if we tell that child that, they're saying, okay, so you want me to be like my older brother instead of me being me, right? That could play itself out in the conversation. And now the scripture also says, if you see here, let's see if I have it right. 1 Timothy 4:14. We are told that we are not to neglect the kind of gift that we have, but we're supposed to use it. There's another scripture in Timothy that says that we are to fan the flame. What does fan the flame mean? Any idea? Okay. Don't let it die. Make it grow, right? How many have ever used charcoal? Right? And when the charcoal, when you first put it on the grill, it's black, right? And then you put some little bit of lighter fluid and you light a match. And then after you've used it for a while, what color are the charcoals? White, right? Or a gray. And what does that mean? They're hot, right? But are they hot enough to cook the food? Pretty much. But if they're not, what do? You fan the flame. And what happens to the color of the charcoal then? They become red, right? So they get hotter. So they can actually come, they can fulfill the purpose. Well, that's what God is saying to us, is if you have a gift, if you need to fan the flame so that you have a visual of what it looks like. I make them red hot so they're actually at their peak. They're at their best. And that's a process of continually cultivating the gift, whatever that might look like. You're on fire for God, right? Okay. Now, the next thing is, we want to look at, okay, as I mentioned here, you've known the seven gifts that are there on the screen. They're over here as well. If I'm only seeing the solution to a problem through my lenses, is that considered a limitation? She would say no. Oh, you said yes? Is that a good thing or a bad thing? It gets you in trouble, right? So there's a limitation. So if there is a limitation for me to solve a problem through just my lens, what does that imply? I need other people, right? I need your lens, right, Phil? Because your lens is going to be different than mine, right? Connie, I need your lens as well, right? So that means, why would God do that? Why wouldn't he give me all seven? I only have one, or maybe two at the most. Why would I need, what would be the purpose? They're like parts of the body.
So that we have a different perspective and don't rely on ourselves.
So we don't rely on ourselves, which means I'm dependent upon you and you are dependent upon me. So God wanted to create a dependence with each other. Right? Yeah, you can go ahead and do that part. So, it colors the way we see things, right? A perceiver will look at life through a perceiver's eyes, either good, bad, or right or wrong, but there are no shades of gray with the perceiver. We're going to wait on that one, hon. Just a second. And so, that perceiver is either black or white. There are no shades of gray. And we mentioned earlier, as we saw the example, a server will ask, what can I do to help? Right? And the teacher will say, I'm going to search for the truth regarding this situation. The exhorter will see, I have opportunities here that I can encourage someone. See, short-sightedness of the teacher is they'll look for the solutions, but they may not implement them. And that's why you need the exhorter, because saying, I've got a solution, right? The giver is going to look for ways to invest their time and their money and their talent. The administrator is going to look at the big picture and saying, okay, this is what really is what's going on. They have a bigger view of the situation. The compassion person recognizes the hurts and the wounds that need to be healed. And you have a chart of that on your piece of paper there, right? So, again, there are limitations that you have to what you have in front of you. So, therefore, you need the other people. Now, if we were to look at these gifts, and as Eric mentioned earlier, if we were to compare them to the body, the human body, you would have this situation here. And the human body is looking sort of sad because I drew it. All right, so just be aware. hey, we added something there that's much better than what I did. If we were to look at the perceiver, we would say the perceiver is the eye of the body. All right? These people have the most vision, spiritual insight. They see things often that others missed. Right? They miss those things. And because of that, back to what Angel had said earlier with the teacher, you could apply this to this regarding the perceiver. They have a big responsibility when it comes to having clear and sound eyesight to detect God's truth. Because if they allow any form of pollution to come into their eyes, they're going to lead others astray. So it's important for a perceiver to make sure their eyesight is always clear and not clouded. Because we're counting on the perceivers to identify accurately and proclaim the will of God to us. So that's important to have. If they don't walk in purity, then their vision will impair what they see and what they say to the rest of us. What about the server? They are the hands of the body. They're very capable with their hands. They're physically capable. They can do things, you know, we all have hands, but they can do things with their hands that others can't. Like if I were a server, maybe I could draw better. Right? But really, I mean, think about mechanics. They're servers, right? They're doers. They, you know, I once fixed my bike with my kickstand, it didn't work that well. And I was talking to a server, and he says, the reason you can't do that is because you're not a server like me. You're not a mechanic. You can't fix it the way I would fix it. And there's truth to that, because I don't take into consideration everything that's involved in being a mechanic. Right? So, what about the teacher? They are the mind of the body. They're gifted with intelligence. They always ask questions. They want to know the basis of everything, and they will search until all the facts are there and that they are convinced that what they've discovered is true. What about the exhorter? They are the mouths of the body. Now, here's something that's very obvious, but you will find it humorous. They like to talk a lot. And sometimes they like to talk too much. Right? They've been given a great facility of speech so they can strengthen, they can comfort, and they can encourage. Right? The givers are the people who are the arms of the body. There's a lot of strength in them. They have great spiritual strength. They give strong support to those who are in spiritual battle or are on the front lines sharing the gospel. You want those givers there, because they're not going to just give their money. They're going to give their talent, right? They're going to give their energy in that process. The administrators, they're the shoulders of the body. You've heard the expression, someone who shoulders the responsibility, they carry the weight They carried the load of leadership. And then the compassion person, this is the heart of the body. These people rule with their hearts more than their heads. Is that a good thing? You better believe it is. We need people who know how to rule with their hearts. It doesn't mean that everyone has to rule with their hearts more than their heads, but we do need people that do that. They reveal the true nature of God by showing kindness, care, and mercy. All right? Does this help to understand a little bit more about these gifts? Okay. All right. So now we're just going to do a quick activation that Judy's going to come up and help us with. She's going to ask you some things that you're going to talk to your neighbor with.
Okay, if you want to get together with one person that's sitting by you, question number one, describe the one you function in the most or that you feel others can see you in. Find someone to sit by or talk to about, describe the one function
of the seven
that you function most in or that you feel others see in you. Do you know?
What you see in yourself.
How do you see yourself? Do you know how you're functioning?
See, the thing is you have three, because you also have that. And so I wonder if, and we could even say, what is the need? It may depend on which one pops up, what comes to the surface, based on the need at hand.
Just so you look at them, there are some times that you function in more than one. What is the one that you see yourself the most in?
Clicking with you guys. Does anything stand out to you? Compassion, okay. So that triggers your heart when you look at the seven versus the other six.
I said all of them, but I don't know.
Let's move to the next question real quickly. Why do you believe that you identify with this gift or these gifts? Next question is, why do you identify with these gifts?
All right. Are you guys about done? All right, let me get your attention for a second here now. I know there's questions 3 and 4. You may have already done 3 and 4 as you were talking about 1 and 2. But let's just hear from any of you guys. Can you identify, just from what you've heard today, can you identify which one of these you function in? Sharon? Right.
Remember that, right? And all in the mail, I'm getting all these socks. I'm like, why am I getting all these socks in the mail? And the Lord told me, you're reaping what you you're reaping what you gave. You're reaping.
Okay. That's a unique way, right? To be told, to be given a certain message, like,
right.
Here's a clue, Sharon. Right? That's a unique one. I like that. All right, what else? Anyone else identify what they function in or what they've seen themselves function in? Administrator, right? You're seeing that more and more clearly, aren't you?
I've always seen it, but not in a positive light.
Uh-huh.
It's how I've always been since I was small. But,
yep.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Now, is there a weakness of that?
Mm-hmm.
Every single one does, right? But people might point out that one. Right? Because it's a little bit more obvious in a way. But you see, if there's a weakness, there's a strength. And if the focus is only on the negative side of a gift, then you're going to get discouraged to ever walk in that gift. How many have seen your gift and said, I don't want that one. I don't want to even pretend. Go ahead, Judy.
Okay. I want to make sure that you are all receiving today, and I sense it in my spirit, that you each have a gift. The Lord has given this to you from the beginning of time. Before the Lord knew you, before you were in your mother's womb. And I do believe that there are some people here that don't believe I have a gift. This doesn't describe me. This is for other people. This is for leaders. And the Lord says today that this is for each and every one of you. If you're an individual, if you have a heart, if you have a heartbeat, the Lord says you are one of these. You function in more than these. The difference of the other ones are the leadership gifts or the fivefold ministry. This is for every single one of you. Kevin?
Would you say, though, that in this case, these motivational gifts begin with a relationship with Christ?
Yes. I mean, in a way, yes and no. You are created that way. So there is an unsaved gift and there is a saved gift. So it looks different. So growing up, I knew I functioned pretty much on the perceiver, but I really didn't know the Lord. This one right here, black and white, there's no gray, there's no in between, and it can be in somewhat negative. Once it's redeemed by the Lord, he works in your character, and it is still the perceiver gift, but it's functioning in a different level. Yeah.
As you mentioned, remember earlier we said that God has asked us to earnestly pursue these gifts, right? To find out what they are. But he also says to cultivate. So that means that each of these, especially when you're an unbeliever, you haven't known Christ yet, they're all functioning at a very immature level, right? You grow in maturity, you grow in character, it impacts how the gift becomes a positive use to benefit others versus to rule over others. If you look at the Corinthians, they were ruling, they were saying, look at me, versus how can I help with my gift? Right. And so the thing is, are they being used in a redeemable way? And so that's why we have to examine ourselves, because you could probably spot all these in family members who are not believers, and they're probably not very positive in how they are manifested. But the Lord wants to use them. He created them for a purpose, for the common good. All right, we need to bring this to a close. So, why are we doing this? Well, here's one thing you're going to find out. First of all, when you look at these gifts, you may find that you have a first, a second, and a third. And some you might even find that are tiebreakers, that you have to create a tiebreaker. They're equal. And so we want to use those. We're going to hand out a quiz or a questionnaire so that you can take this thing and find out. At the very end of it, you're going to tally up your numbers and find out, okay, which are my top three? You may only have two, or you may find yourself at this point that you don't, you know, the whole purpose is to get to know yourself and to know the Lord. How did the Lord make you? And we have to be good stewards of how God made each of us and recognize that there is a gift in us. If we ignore that text that said from 1 Peter 4:10 that says each of us has been given, if in your head you're saying, well, some of you have got one, but I didn't get one, then it means that you're denying what God's word says. So, we would like you to take these and let us know where do you fall? And sometimes you will discover as you take this thing that there might be more than one. You might find a different set or different numbers as you get to know yourself better. And you know, and so what we want to convey to you is that over the next several weeks, we're going to look at these gifts individually on a Sunday morning. But we're going to look at three things. We're going to look at the characteristics of the gift. We're going to look at the weaknesses of the gift. And then we're going to give you biblical examples of these gifts so that you have a better idea. And so you can take this quiz now, but what happens when you take it again after we've gone all through seven? You might find there's a difference in your numbers the first time you do it from the last time you do it. So be aware, you are a work in progress, and that God loves to work and build us up, right? You know, one of the things that came out of the seminar, the question was, Lord, in what area do you want to build me up? And in what area do you want me to build someone else? Okay? All right. So let's bring it to a close. Father, we just come to you in prayer. We thank you, Father, that you have placed in the body, not only in the body of Christ, but in every human being, one or more of these seven gifts. And that you uniquely made us in a way that honors you, but also, Lord, that when we walk in that gift, we sense your favor on our lives. We sense your pleasure over us. And so, Lord, I declare that you would give insight to each and every one as they walk through this test in obedience to be good stewards and cultivate the gift that you've given everyone. So I bless everyone here and those online in the name of Jesus. Amen. You are dismissed.